it out. anybody seeking the face of the Lord this morning? Come on, how many of y'all know it's important to seek God in such a way that you go after His face? I really feel like God's just ministering something to me right now that He wants me to really try to communicate to y'all. How many of y'all have ever seen somebody like you were standing behind them and you thought that they were somebody else, but you didn't realize who they were until you saw their face? All right? It's like Amy Boone. Sometimes I see Cameron and I think it's Amy until I see her face. Same thing with like Tony and Brooke. Right? It's like if I see them from behind, I'm not really sure who they are. But when I see their face, that's when I know who they are. All right? And listen, there's been so many. How many of y'all know the Bible says that the enemy presents himself as an angel of light? There's been so many times that I've allowed the enemy to deceive me because what he presented before me looked like God, but I didn't seek the face of it. All right? And if I would have sought the face of what it was that he presented before me, I would have realized that it wasn't God. Listen, you got to understand that you got to seek God in a face-to-face way, all right? Don't seek his hand, seek his heart. Don't just go after what he wants to give you. Go after his heart for you. Come on. Test every spirit. Huh? Don't let the enemy deceive you. He can present something before you that looks like God, but if you seek the face of it, it might not be God. And you'll be able to make more right decisions. So let's go after his heart this morning, y'all. Let's go after his face this morning, y'all. Don't just go after a blessing. Don't just go after a promise. Go after the blesser. Go after the promiser this morning.
Bless you. Come on, we want to go back into that song a little bit, but before we do, I want to do something. I want Roger and Jody to come up here, and then I want you to move in behind them. Felt prompted to do this. You may or may not know it, but Roger and Jody were in a wreck and caused injury to Roger's body. We miss Roger when he's not a part of this team. Not only did it do that, it took their vehicle. And we're going to believe right now for two things. I want you again. This is what we're going to begin to demonstrate. This is the second time we've done this. We're going to start lifting up our brothers and sisters and coming together as family. So I want you to begin to pray for healing in Roger's body. And we pray right now for a vehicle for favor some way, somehow. Meet their need of a vehicle right now, God. Meet their need. Come on, begin to pray in the Spirit. I want you to pray like it's your situation because it is. It's your family. Come on, we ask you to move now. Come on, would you pray like that if it was your family? Come on, I want you to pray like it's your family. I want you to cry out to God like it's your issue. It's an issue of the family, so it is your issue. Lord, we ask you to come right now. We ask you to release healing into Roger's body. The enemy that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. We ask that you would cause the enemy that rose up against them one way to flee from them seven. We ask right now for the healing presence of Jesus. Devil, you are a liar. You are a liar. We ask for the angel that brings healing to go right now. Shift Roger's back right now. Devil, you are a liar. Healing around his neck right now. Right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, Lord. We bring this petition before the throne of grace boldly. We expect you to move right now, Lord. We expect you to move right now, Lord. We expect you to move right now, Lord. Right now, Lord, we ask you to open up the windows of heaven and provide transportation for Roger and Jody. Right now, what the enemy has stolen, Lord, we ask you to bring restitution. We ask you to bring restitution right now, Lord. Recompense. Recompense. Better than was lost. We say better than was lost. We say more than was lost. We decree and declare recompense over the son and daughter of this house, God. Right now, we declare peace right now where the enemy has stolen peace. Peace of God come. Now come on, let's sing that. Your face is beautiful. Why? look on your face, God. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Move, Lord. Come on, you're in their situation right now, God. Devil, you are. Restoration, restoration. Vision, Lord, we declare provision and restoration. Expect them, Lord, to receive what they cannot do on their own. supernaturally right now. We believe for miracles, signs, and wonders to be released into this family right now, God. Right now, you do it, Lord. According to your word, be it unto them. According to your word, be it unto them. You can return to your seat. If I could have the children come forward, please, this morning. Yes, Lord. Come on, He's worthy. For these children, we thank you, Lord, that they are the ministers of today. We thank you that they operate in the gifts of the Spirit. In your name, they lay hands on the sick and they recover. In your name, they cast out demons. In your name, Lord, they go forth into the harvest field of their schools and their communities. We thank you, Lord, that they see signs, wonders, miracles happening in their lives. We thank you for it in advance, Lord. We thank you for it in advance, Lord, for them beginning to move in the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for it, Lord, as a sign and a wonder in the earth, that they would move in the gifts of the Spirit, cause their eyes to open and their ears to open to hear your word today. We ask for your blessing upon the teachers, and we honor you for it, Lord, and we bless them in Jesus' name. You can be dismissed. Give me just a little bit of music playing. Listen, I need your help this morning. Sean and I both are leaving to go on a trip. I'll be gone 2 weeks. He'll be gone a week, I think, right? It's a week. And I'm trusting the Lord, because on my end, I know I'm not sure where he is. I need $1,200 like today, because I'm leaving at 6 o'clock this evening. If you know me, you know I'm not one to talk about offerings and money. But I said, okay, God, what am I going to do? He said, just come and share the deed and go on about your business. So that's what I'm going to do. So I've already paid for my tickets and all that. But I do need some we'll have some airfare and stuff like that within the country that I need help with. So I want you to do two things. Number one, if you don't pay your tithes and your offerings and you give it to me, it's just, you're just trading out money. So, but if you're able this morning to give above your tithe and offering and you want to give toward this trip, you can do a couple of things. Just write in the corner of your check that it's for trips. You can also, on your envelope, if you want to get an envelope, they'll get you one. If you want to raise your hand, you can put the trips or missions on the outside of that. And you can also, if you don't get a chance to do either one of those, you're more than, you can see us after we make the transition and after the service is over. But Lord, I ask you right now to meet these needs. Why would you be going to the nations? Well, let me tell you something. I've never known how, somebody prophesied over me years ago when I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, broke as I could be. My home was repoed, my car was repoed. Somebody was saying, man, you going to the nations. I'm like, da 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 da. She was a Charlie Brown mama. But this will be my seventh nation that I'm getting ready to go into. And I can't tell you how I got there. Sometimes I'm not able to do what needs to be done here, but somehow I get to the nations because it's God's blessing and God's favor. So if you can help, please do. Father, we just thank you right now for every need being met. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to go to the nations. And we thank you, Lord, that every need's met. We trust you and we bless you and we honor you. And we just commit this into your hand this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me do a couple of things here. We have some folks with us this morning. Jim and Carol Riley have come all the way from Hazard, Kentucky to be with us today. So would you welcome them? You can keep playing a little bit if you want to. That's all right. Just quit. You done quit now. Mountaineers don't quit, man. Anyway, it's an honor to have you with us today. Did you drive in here this morning? Drove all the way from Hazard, Kentucky this morning, folks. That's a long, long ways.
So we believe that the Lord, is it your daughter? Daughter Sarah. So we believe that the Lord is going to cause us to have relationship with them and work with them. You know, they have come to this church when Jeremiah was here. And there's some of those people that the Lord has put it on their heart that every place needs a place like this place. Am I right about that? So we want to help them, partner with them in any way we can to do that. And some of you McDowell County people thought you drove a long way. These folks drove a long way. So we honor you for being here this morning. Anything you'd like to say? Amen. The only announcement I'm going to say, I'm going to not make Faith get up here since it's just one thing now that I think about it, but we need your help with, we're planning to feed people on Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving. We've got the Nations right here in Bluefield in these college campuses. And we want to reach out to the college campuses. There are a lot of students in those campuses, some of them many thousands of miles away, a lot of nations, that don't have anywhere to go home to and don't have any place to celebrate and be loved at Thanksgiving. So we're going to do that for them and provide them with a meal. We need your help. You know, what happens a lot of times in church is the same people step up to the plate for everything. We don't want that. We want you to get the understanding that you're part of a family. And as part of the family, if you have an issue, we have an issue. So we want you to pull together with us. Please see Tina. Tell Tina what you can bring and how you can participate. We're going to set this up as an entire place to eat. We're going to have the young people serve them. We're going to try to give them fun and fellowship. Not beer, by the way, for you people who are on Facebook yesterday. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. But anyway, we need your help. And we want you to begin to step up to the plate and participate, because this is not our church. It's your church. So you have to begin to start acting like it. So before I bring you the word this morning, would you like to, come and share what the Lord gave you? See, we believe in team ministry here, so.
Thank you. I just want to share with y'all some a few weeks ago when Doyle and him were out of town, the worship team was up here singing the song about all of God's promises are yes and amen. And the Spirit of the Lord hit me as I kept singing that song. I was in the back. And I had to say, yes, Lord, I declare and I decree that my son and my husband are saved. And I had to confess that. And there's power when we confess God's word and when we declare and decree. And I've been taught to declare and decree. We all have said in here and heard about declaring and decreeing, but I was stubborn and I didn't do it. The Lord, I've listened to lies from the enemy for about a year that says that my voice is not important, that nobody listens to me. So if he can shut me up in the natural, he'll shut me up in the spiritual. And when he shuts us up in the spiritual, then things can't be manifested in the natural. So I had to come to that revelation that my words are powerful. And I shared some stuff on Facebook and stuff about confessions and stuff, and I've been doing that for the past week and a half, and I have seen things come to pass since I've been doing that. And I also went to, my friend was ministering a word, and she showed me this visual on Revelations 9:11, and I'll go back to when we were singing that song, and I said that out loud, the Lord, I claim and I decree and I declare that my sons and my husbands are saved. Cherise stood up and she spoke this word, Revelation 19:11. And my friend showed me a powerful visual for this, and I had never looked at it like this before. The Lord's word is powerful. It's powerful than a two-edged sword. And if we can just come to that conclusion and believe it, we will see it. So, Revelation 19:11. I'm shaking, sorry. And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. So she gave us a visual about this. Every time we speak God's word, the Satan and his imps, they tremble because they see this. Because the white horse is victory. The Lord steps out in this cloud on the horse. And then he sees behind him the other white horses that come, the angel armies that are coming forth. So when we finish reading this, his eyes were as a sorry, I don't have my glasses. My eyes shall become clear. His eyes were in the flame of fire, and in his head were many crowns, and he had the name written on that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. So the Word of God is powerful. And the armies which were in the heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of the mouth goeth the sharp sword, and with it should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture in the high... And on his thigh was name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Satan sees that every time we speak and declare and decree his word, because there is power in his word. And he sees King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his thigh. And he knows that he is defeated if we speak and declare his word.
Glory! Come on, give him a shout of praise. Come on, there's breakthrough in that. Come on, whatever you face, I'm switching. Whatever you face, I just want you to get a hold of that right now and just shout to the Lord about it. Come on, shout it out. Whatever you need, shout it out right now. Healing, shout it out. Deliverance, shout it out. Come on, I'm telling you, finances, shout it out right now. Whatever you need, come on, shout it out. Remember that commercial about the detergent? We need to learn to shout it out this morning. Shout out sickness. Shout out disease. Shout out infirmity. Shout out depression. Shout out discouragement. Shout out family issues. Come on, I want you to shout this morning. There's something in this room right now. We say victory belongs to us, Lord. There is no circumstance that can stand against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no weapon formed against any house in this place that can prosper. No weapon formed against this ministry can prosper. No weapon formed against any family in this house can prosper. We are above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. We are blessed everywhere the soles of our feet tread. We win. We walk in victory because you are our victory. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, circumstances are changing right now. Money's being released. Peace is being released. Oh, we say, husbands and wives, get into the church right now. We say, husbands and wives, get into the church. You've ran long enough. We thank you, Lord, that we win. And we are every circumstance in our life lines up with your will and your word over us. My goodness, you feel that in the room? Come on, every situation in my life, Lord, comes into a but thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
And every person that's part of this fellowship, Lord, we come into agreement with your word about divine favor. We expect favor to come to every family and every person in this house. From the north, we call favor. From the south, from the east, from the west. Lord, you will give us land we didn't even plant nor clear. You will give us things, Lord. You will release your favor in this time upon us. Shoo-wee. Don't you feel that in the room? Lord, we thank you that we've been baptized in favor. That there's an aroma of your presence on us. That when we step into the store, when we step into the showroom, they come running and say, "How can I bless you, sir? How can I bless you, ma'am?" We smell like we've been with you, Lord. And that aroma causes us to have favor wherever we are and wherever we go, God. Mercy. Well, we're talking about favor. I'll just do a little review for you. Last week we began to release what I believe is a prophetic word out of Psalm 102:13. For thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the set time, the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. And I shared with you how I believe that we are coming into a season of unprecedented favor. And the interesting thing that we found, I believe Isaiah 61 is a prophetic scripture for the season. But it's interesting that along with favor, the Isaiah 61:2 says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of the Lord's favor. But it's interesting, he said simultaneously vengeance will come. So what we looked at last week, and I gave you a prophetic word that the Lord had given me about cleansing coming to this nation, and that's vengeance. And when vengeance comes, it's a sign that favor is coming upon Zion. So we're already seeing that. I showed you where the Lord had told me that the accuser would become the accused, and there would be a divine flip-flop. And the trap that someone else was laying for another person, they would fall in it themselves. That's part of justice, and that's part of favor. So we went down through Isaiah 61, and we began to see some things that favor causes to happen. Number one, favor brings a divine reversal. Things are going this way, and all of a sudden, when God's favor moves in, the thing shifts and changes and goes for you instead of against you. There's a divine shift from beauty to ash, or you get beauty for ashes. Ashes is a place of grief, despair, any place in your life that you've had grief or you've had pain, loss, or suffering. When favor begins to come, you get, the Lord turns that into something beautiful. We also said that he would give you a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. When favor comes, you get a new garment, a mantle of praise. And because of what the Lord is doing in your life, you begin to exude the praises of the Lord. You get out of gloom, despair, and agony on me, and discouragement. And if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You move out of that. And you exude his praise because his goodness has come upon you and you're experiencing his favor. So he trades your garments. He trades a garment of heaviness for a garment of praise. When favor enters your life, divine relationships enter your life. You don't need everybody to like you. You just need one person to like you. You better hear that. I stole that, by the way. I didn't come up with that. I did go through a season of watching Mike Murdoch. The man knows a lot. Do you hear that? You don't want me to turn the air conditioner on in the winter? God. It's the first time. Hey, look, I know revival's happening. It's the first time I've ever heard anybody in here say they're hot. I've been coming here for years. Nobody ever says that. Now, it'll be probably 15 minutes at the most. And I'll look back and somebody will be going. It's just the way church works. I've done it all my life. When favor comes, you will do the work of the Lord. You will be his representatives. You become his ministers. And then we see that favor brings prosperity. And we said that in favor, you will have double for your trouble. And there's also generational blessing is released. And when favor comes upon the church, the nations are impacted. So I believe that as favor comes upon us, more and more nations will be opened up to us. Of course, I shared with you what it's like to have favor. Favor from your mama. It means there's fried chicken legs under the bed. There's white cake and white icing under the bed, prepared just for you that nobody else can get, along with the forks and the plates. But I want to pick up where I left off and share some more things with you. I want you to understand it. I want you to get it. See, how we started this is we've got to get out of a poverty mentality. We've got to get out of this striving, and we've come to expect just to barely get by. We've expect just to get by the skin of our teeth. Come on, don't lie to me. You do. The whole church is infiltrated with that. Because when you go to church, all they sing about is how life is hell and they can't wait to go to glory someday in the sweet by and by. John Osteen, one of my favorite preachers, I used to watch him every Sunday night at 12 o'clock midnight. He said, I don't need something for the sweet by and by. I need something for the rotten here and now. And see, whether you realize it or not, that's what favor does. Favor deals with now. And we've got so much ingrained into us from being where we're from. And a lot of times, you know, people look down on this area and this land. And you don't realize that gets in you. But you also don't realize how it affects your relationship with the Lord. Because you come to Him like a beggar. And we really don't expect Him to favor us. But I want to just visit this for a moment again. I want you to get the idea. If you could get the revelation that you're God's favorite, how would your Monday change? See, that's what we're talking about. Favor is the same word contained in favorite. What if you began to wake up in the morning knowing you're God's favorite? What if you let the transforming of your mind, the renewing of your mind come to where you realize when you got out of the bed, when you wherever you went, you believed that you were God's favorite? How would that change your thinking? How would that change what you buy? How would that change how you exist? See, I believe that. I don't want to move past this book. I want you to begin to scrub your mind. I want you to begin to get the revelation. I want you to begin to say, I want you to get up in the morning and say, I'm God's favorite. He favors me. Let that sink into your heart. That's a completely different mindset. Because when I understand how He favors me, I begin to expect. See, you will expect what you dwell on. You will expect what you think on. And you will get what you expect every time. So if I'm going to get something different, I have to begin to expect something different. And I can only expect something different if I understand my identity is His favorite. He favors me. He wants me to win. I don't know what that means about football games. Chandler and I had that conversation. Actually, his coach had that conversation. But don't you? He's like, don't you think that other team over there is praying the same thing? Yeah, they are. But I want you to begin to understand God wants to favor you. And you're His favorite. Have you ever been anybody's pet? Some of you haven't, and that's the issue. You can't grasp in your mind. You've had to fight for everything that's ever happened in your life. You don't understand what it's like to be somebody's pet. And God wants you to get that revelation. So for some of you, that's hard. Some of you right now, it's hard for you. Because you've felt like you're the back end all the time. You feel like everybody's been preferred above you. So let me tell you something. You know what favor really is? It's preferential treatment. Favor is preferential treatment. You get preferred above others. You, and I see this a lot, and I think maybe some of you probably do and don't pay attention. I mean, sometimes I can go in a place and people treat me differently, and I don't even know them. They give me preferential treatment. They don't know me. For some reason, they must think I'm nice. I know that's contrary to your belief, but But I see things all the time, and it has to be. I believe what the Lord is. There are so many scriptures I want to share with you, so I'm going to stay on this for a while because I want you to get it in your spirit. But there's one thing that talks about favor being like a shield around you. I believe that there's almost like an aroma or something that we begin to give off when we're walking in the favor of the Lord that causes people to just want to be good to us, to bless us. But it's preferential treatment. To favor means to give special regard to treat with goodwill, to show exceptional kindness to someone. You know the number one issue in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the pews? Rejection. Spirit of rejection. And see, when you got the spirit of rejection on you, you don't know how to embrace preferential treatment. When somebody tries to be good to you, you're thinking, oh, they're going to, uh-oh. You're looking for the knife in your back while they're being good to you. Are you hearing me? Rejection keeps you from embracing favor. And if you've lived a life of rejection, you really can't embrace what Jesus paid for on the cross for you. If you had daddy issues on earth, it's really hard for you to understand favor and preferential treatment. So we have to break out of rejection in order to see His favor on us sometimes. Sometimes it means to show extra kindness in comparison to the treatment of others. My chicken, under the bed, all kinds of people in the house, I got the chicken. All kinds of people in the house, I got the cake. So if you weren't here last week, go back and watch that. You'll understand what I'm saying. But I want to share some things very, very important with you this morning. Because I want to begin to share some keys to walking in favor. And really, I told you last week, something Sean was teaching really is somewhere I want to end up today because I want you to see some things. But number one thing I want to tell you about favor, say favor is not fair. When God's favor begins to come on you, fairness goes out the window. They can have the most education and have the most skill. They can sing better than you can, play an instrument better than you can. But they don't get the promotion. Because favor's not fair. When favor begins to come upon you, and see, I'm working on mindset right now. Favor's not fair. And we in our DNA, we think about fairness. We compare ourselves to others. Well, I don't qualify for it as much as they do because I've got this mentality on the inside of me of thinking I'm less. But favor's not fair. I'll show you in Scripture, favor's not fair. God is not comparing you to anyone else. Favor is not God blessing you because you qualify. Favor is God blessing you simply because He wants to. The other thing that you have to understand is God takes pleasure in you. The old Southern West Virginia religious mindset makes you think that God's out the big daddy in the sky wanting to zap you because you messed up yesterday. No, God takes pleasure in you. Let that sink in. I'm going to say it again. God takes pleasure in you. Anybody in here got kids? You know when that kid was about 2 years old, once they got started walking and saying all this stuff, I can still tell you what mine said. We got a whole list we can give you. You took pleasure. Pain in the butt? Yes. Wake up in the middle of the night aggravating you? Yes. Stuff coming out every end in the middle of the night? Yes. But you take delight in them. You take pleasure in them. All it takes is that one little sweet word to say and that just this is the mannerisms that they have. My God, they could have just tore your house upside down and they just come in, I love you, Daddy. And you're like, it's worth it. I'm sorry I cussed last night when I had to get out of bed, Lord. It's worth it. It's worth it, Lord. If you're a parent, you understand taking pleasure in someone. Should I feel the Lord? What would happen when a church began to realize that's how God looks at you? He's not upstairs with a big hammer in his hand ready to knock you over the head because you messed up yesterday. He went ahead and Jesus was on the cross because he knew you were going to mess up, and he favored you anyway. Why don't you just kick your kids out? Why you put up with them rascals all these years? Why don't you just wake up tomorrow and say, that's it, you're out of here. Because they belong to you. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he takes great pleasure in you. So even when you mess up, he says, they're still mine. They still bring me great delight because I know where I'm taking them and I know what I placed in them. They carry my DNA and they make me very proud, and I take pleasure in them. I break right now a mindset in some people that cannot receive that the Lord takes pleasure in you. He delights in you. Can you let that settle in? It would change your life. If you got that, it would change you. If you really thought God took pleasure in you, you wouldn't look like you've been eating sour grapes all the time. You'd have a spring in your step. See, we got to get some experience. Can you imagine what it was like? Would be like to be a king's kid? Really? See, if your daddy owns a business and he's the head of the business, can't you imagine being one of Sam Walton's children and walking into the factory? How would you walk? Yeah. We don't do that with God, and we should be. Are you understanding that? How would it change the way you function? I see it right now. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But the Lord wants you to be like George Jefferson. Yeah, baby. Moving on up. Finally got a piece of the pie. Now we up in the big leagues, getting our turn at bat, you and me, baby. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. How would it change your life if you got the revelation that your daddy owns the stuff? Help me, Jesus. I hate to go into banks. They ain't been too good to me. But how would it change if you got out the car saying, baby, my daddy owns this bank. My daddy owns this car lot. My daddy's car is bigger than your car. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What if you begin to get a revelation of who you really are, and your daddy runs the thing? You act different when you know somebody. Who you know changes the way you act. Hello? Well, then why is that not the case with us? We know the greatest entity ever in existence, but we don't have the revelation of it. I'm just giving you revelation right now. God only knows where we're going. What did you do when you were a kid? What's the first thing you learned as a kid? When someone comes against you, you don't try to fight them. I'm going to tell my daddy on you. I'm going to tell on you. What if the body of Christ began to get the revelation and go right back to see as a child? I'm going to tell my daddy on you. I ain't going to fight with your mess. You can talk about me all you want to. I'm telling my daddy. You'll have to deal with him. Trying to help you. What if you begin to get that mentality and we'll tell my daddy on you? You know why we can't do that? Because we believe our daddy's mad at us too. In your DNA in Southern West Virginia is the belief that God is mad at you. And if you make one little mistake, he's going to kick you out and you out of the wheel. So you can't even receive his best, and it's not his fault. He's provided it. But we can't receive it. So next time you mess with me, I'm going to tell my daddy on you. going to my daddy. But favor is not fair. It rests solely on the decision of the one conveying it. You better let that sink in. See, what you have to understand is favor, grace, and mercy are sometimes used to translate the same Hebrew and Greek word in the Scripture. So then the favor of God is the grace of God. Grace is unmerited favor. So therefore, favor has nothing to do with the performance of the person. It's unmerited. Favor is just the decision solely of the one conveying it to you. And favor is the same word as grace in the Bible. Favor is a manifestation of grace. Do you believe he saved you? By what? Then if he saved you by grace, you didn't just get grace, you got favor. Because it's the same word in Scripture. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found favor. Most everywhere you see grace, you can substitute favor, because favor is a manifestation of grace. It's the undeserved kindness of God. God simply blesses you because he wants to. Now, how would it change your life if you woke up tomorrow morning thinking, and quit keeping score and thinking, man, I kicked the dog, cussed the cat yesterday. It's going to be a bad Monday. Darn it. The devil's so good about right before you walk out the door, you and Jesus got your own thing going. You feel flower. I mean, you just feel the presence of the Lord. And then you get out of bed. And then you go into work. And it zaps right out of you. But the favor of God is the grace of God. That's the first thing I want you to see. It has nothing to do with you. And see, that's what I'm telling you. When God begins to give you favor, people that don't even know you bless you. You ever been blessed by somebody you don't know? Can't even explain why they did what they did for you. I'm trying to explain it to you because there's favor on your life. So favor is the same thing as grace. How do you get favor with someone? The next principle I want to show you is favor is connected and stems from sight. Most everywhere you find favor, God favoring someone in Scripture, it talks about sight. So what is favor? Let me show you. Now behold, Genesis 19:19. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight. And you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. Exodus 33:17. The Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor. Where? In my sight. Where is favor? Favor has to do with sight. Noah found favor. Where did Noah find favor? Genesis 6:8. Where did Noah find favor? Where? In the eyes. So most wherever, so how favor is released, the Scripture also says multiple times, looked favorably. He looked favorably upon them. So favor is actually the result of God turning his attention toward you. What does it mean to have favor? It means God's turned his attention toward me. I've got his attention. Let's go back to children again. You're not intending on spending not $1. If you intended on not spending $1, don't take that kid. Do you know why, when you don't intend on doing it, you do? Favor is God turning his eyes toward you and seeing you. And when he sees you, it causes him to delight in you, and he opens up his goodness and what he has to you. Not planning on spending a dime. Come up with them big old eyes looking at you. Oh, Daddy, I love you. You're the best daddy in the world. Hand goes in pocket. Oh, are you hearing me? What if you looked at God that way? What if you understood that he delights in you? And it's about his eyes. Favor is created when God looks at you. It's God seeing you. Hear me now. Favor is God seeing you, but it's also God causing you to be seen. God causes others to see you. Several places in Scripture, Samuel and Jesus, it said Jesus increased in favor with God and man. So favor is God seeing you and causing others to begin to see you. See, that's why if you've got the favor of the Lord on your life, you don't have to fight and strive for a ministry position. You don't have to fight and strive for blessing. Because God causes other people to see you. Man, I feel the Lord in here. All you need is for him to cause somebody to see you. You don't need everybody to like you. One person liking you can change your world forever. All it takes is God to magnify you in the sight of one person, and your life's completely changed. All it takes is for him to show one person how gifted you are. All it takes is for him to show one person your heart. Because it's about sight. So when favor comes, God begins to look upon you, and he causes others to look upon you. Favor is God turning his eyes toward us. How could I get God to turn his eyes toward me? Worship. When I begin to worship him, he has no choice. He doesn't hear it when I say life's terrible. He doesn't hear it when I say my back hurts. He doesn't hear it when I say I'm broke and I can't pay the power bill next week. He doesn't hear any of that. It doesn't get his attention. But when in the middle of it I say, I love you, Lord. You are great. How great is my God? He is great and magnificent and awesome. Don't you lie to me. If somebody praises you, you do a double take and you're there, baby. You pay attention when somebody praises you. Let me tell you how the devil uses manipulation. Some of you need to learn this. If somebody flatters you, run. Because the number one strategy the enemy uses is to tell you how great you are while he's killing you. But my point to you is you can't resist. Particularly if you struggle with insecurity, you can't resist when somebody tells you you're great. And they can move right into your life, destroy you, destroy your house, destroy your church. Because all they got to do is tell you, they got to praise you. So when somebody praises me, I run. If they praise me fast, I know I run. Of course, I don't get much praise anyway, so we don't have to worry about that too much. What I'm trying to say to you is favor flows from recognition. Favor flows from recognition. God recognizes you and causes someone else to recognize you, and boom, things begin to change in your life. Now, here's really where the Lord began to show me some things, and I really want you to get this. But you have to understand something. Favor flows from the identity of sonship and rightly relating to authority. Favor flows from the identity of sonship and rightly relating to authority. If you can't rightly relate to authority and you can't become a son or a daughter, favor will never come to you. I don't care how talented you are, how gifted you are, favor comes to sons and daughters. and those who relate rightly to authority. Rebels don't walk in the favor of God. Sons walk, and daughters walk in favor. And this is really where the Lord really, I feel like the Lord wanted to share with this with you so much. You can't just wander around to every church on the planet and walk in favor. And nor can you grumble about everything that's going on in yours and walk in favor, because you're tying the hands of the Lord. Favor comes to those who identify with sonship and rightly relating. Now let's look at this. Probably no one in Scripture is a better example of walking in favor than Joseph. Have you ever asked yourself why Joseph walked in such favor? His favor came from his identity as a son. He first settled his identity as a son and the fact that he brought pleasure to his father before he ever walked in favor. If you think God's mad at you, you're never going to walk in favor. Joseph walked in favor because he first established himself as a son. Now remember what we talked about last week. Garments identify us. Genesis 37 verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him of a very colored tunic, a coat of many colors. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. His identity as a son caused him to walk in favor, and the coat represented identity. So every time that he put that coat on, he woke up like, I'm telling you, I'm my daddy's favorite. He didn't put on the coat of the morning of rejection and shame. Every time he put that coat on, he knew. He established his identity in the eyes of a father. So when he put the coat on, he understood that he was somebody's favorite. Are you hearing me? And it changed his life. And the reality is, because he understood his relationship to a father, he was walking in true sonship. It's quiet in here. Because he was walking in divine sonship, it caused him to walk in favor no matter where he was or what the situation he found himself in. It doesn't matter what he found himself in. He walked in favor because he found the identity in being a son, and only in becoming a son do you get the favor of the house. Boy, it's quiet. Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit and sold him. Joseph has already understood the identity of favor because he's a son. See, many people want to be blessed, want to be used, but they don't want to become a son or daughter. Favor comes to sons and daughters. So Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit. Now here he is in a pit, but see, he's already gained the identity of sonship, and he's already settled on the inside of him that he's favored. I hope you can get what the Holy Spirit's saying here. Favor, sometimes we repel favor because we haven't come to the identity of sonship. I don't much like asking strangers for anything. Really, I don't like asking anybody for anything. I'd rather be shot. But the Lord is working, just like this morning, the Lord is working on me. Most of my life, I would have said, oh my God, I don't know how you're going to give me this money, Lord. And I wouldn't have said a word. See, you understand, I'm trying to get at a mindset in us. But if I'm in relationship, if I'm sonship, then I shouldn't mind. Message taken. Don't work unless you put it on cool. I'm going to preach on hell in a few minutes. I just wanted to prepare the atmosphere. But I want you to see, I got to move quickly here. Joseph didn't just end up anywhere. Joseph didn't, the person who came along to get Joseph wasn't just anybody. I'm not going to go through the scriptures. You go look at the scriptures. But what I'm trying to get you to see is he established, his favor was established with him being a son. He took on the identity of being a favored one. So no matter what pit or what he fell into, he walked in favor. Favor isn't, and here's your next one. Favor's not dependent on your circumstances. Favor's dependent on your identity, and your identity is in being a son. And when you become a son, you got favor. Because all you got to do is say, my daddy is. So Joseph ends up in a pit, and guess who buys Joseph? Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's what favor is. You'll see it over and over. It says the Lord was with Joseph. That's what favor is. It's when the Lord is with you. It says then the Lord was with him. And the Lord caused all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor. Where'd he find favor? In the sight. God caused Potiphar, and he caused the rulers of Egypt to recognize something's on this boy's life. So God noticed, and then God caused somebody else to notice. They got favor in his sight. They looked and said, But see, you got to understand, he'd already established his favor coming from a relationship of a father to a son. He wasn't having identity issues. He wasn't having rejection issues. He wasn't having insecurity issues because he planted himself under a father. You better hear what I'm telling you. If you want to get rid of insecurity and jealousy and all that stuff in your life, plant yourself under a father. Blessing comes to sons. And see, that's what he had done. So he doesn't just end up anywhere. He ends up in Potiphar's house, and he found favor in their sight, and he became their personal servant. You want favor? He served. He became a servant. Everybody wants a little bit of favor, but baby, nobody wants to become a servant. You can't have the identity of the favorite one until you become have the identity of a servant. The greatest is the one who serves. Everybody wants to be great, but that means, in most of our minds, that means telling somebody what to do. It doesn't mean telling somebody what to do. It means serving somebody. It means cleaning toilets and washing dishes. I don't care what kind of gift you got. You better hear what I'm telling you. Yeah, he's got favor, but he was a servant. You'll have to, there you go. He was a servant before he was a son. Yeah. You know how you pick in a local house who your sons are? They're the ones that serve. They're the ones that are there when work day's called. They're the ones that are you don't have to prod them and beg them to do something. They do it. They serve, and someone serving identifies them as a son or daughter. Are you a son or daughter of this house? It's easy to find out. Do you serve? Yeah. Or do you just want to be great? And if you can't serve when it's little, don't come around when it's big. Because the boat done left, baby. And you missed it. On Wednesday night, Ron says you missed the right, you didn't get on the right bus. Well, you not got on the right boat. He was a servant first. He found favor in the sight. And look at this. It came about that from that time he made him overseer in his house all over all that he owned, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. What am I trying to tell you? He already settled identity. His father put something so deep in him that he understood sonship, and favor flowed out of that place. Wherever he was. And then we see, so he got promoted. And then we see Genesis 39:20. Joseph's master took him and put him in jail. Not everybody will celebrate. See, what I'm trying to get you to see, when favor's on your life, it doesn't mean something bad's not going to happen. It just means when it does, you come out smelling like a rose. Did you hear me? Favor means that even when I'm in the midst of going through it, I'm coming out on the right side. I ain't coming up on the rough side of the mountain. Sing it, Raj. No, please don't. We'll sing it together after a while if you want to. We're going to change the words of that song. I'm coming up on the blessed side. Not the rough side, the blessed side. I'm coming up on the favored side of the mountain. I'm walking up the hill and I ain't even got sweat. See, I'm trying to tell you about that mentality that's in the church, coming up on the rough side of the mountain. That really makes me want to serve Jesus. No, baby, I'm coming up on the blessed side. Everything I touch is blessed because I have an identity of favor. You can come up the rough side all you want to. I've had all the rough I want. So Joseph got thrown into jail. Say, by the Lord. In the middle of jail, but the Lord was with Joseph. Favor means the Lord is with you. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. When the favor of God's on your life, he can stick you in the middle of jail and they'll turn it over to you. You will prosper wherever you are. But I'm trying to get you to see the prosperity come from his identity as a son. Ooh, I feel Jesus on that. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge. Turned the whole jail. Do you hear that? Favor don't make sense. Favor's not fair. He's a prisoner. They turned the whole jail over to a prisoner because favor don't make sense and favor ain't fair. Yes. Ooh, boy, I'm feeling good about right now. Turn the jail over to a prisoner. I'm trying to get you to get the revelation of what God can do for you. I don't care that you don't have a PhD. Some people got a PhD in DUMB, but we won't talk about that. What I'm trying to get you to see is there's people in this room, I feel it right now. Some of you have held back because of your own belief about yourself. You don't think you measure up and qualify. My God, if favor can cause the prisoner to run the prison, what can God do with you if you begin to get a revelation that you are a son and a daughter and your daddy loves you and you bring him pleasure and he just can't wait to bless you? Yeah, God. Yeah. Oh, in this good old country hillbilly world, we have a saying. He fell into and came out smelling like a rose. That's what favor is. It's when you fall into a pile and before you can get out of it, he's already caused you to smell like a rose. I'm trying to get you a picture of favor. Yeah. Woo! Gonna fall in it and come out smelling like a rose. Not because of who I am, but because his heart is toward me. Man, Lordy, anybody having fun yet? Now you know what happens. Somebody comes into the prison. Yes, Lord, just let it just sweep all across here. Get that old sorry, crying in your beer, gloom, despair, and agony on me out of this place. So you know what happened? Somebody in the king's house comes into the prison, and Joseph interprets his dream, and he thinks he's going to get out. But he doesn't get out. You better hear what I'm telling you. I believe it was 3 years after Joseph thought he was going to get out of prison, and he was still in prison. Two things were going on. God was still working on his character in the prison. But he also kept favor. Joseph didn't, you better hear, this is the word. Joseph didn't quit serving. Yeah, that's good. when he didn't get what he wanted. Joseph didn't get in the fetal position and say, God's forgot me. I've been here 3 years and God doesn't love me. You better hear me. I'm talking about identity. The reason he didn't is he already had an understanding of being a son. It never entered his mind, my daddy don't love me, because he got that from a relationship with a father. Even 3 years later, he's still serving. Number one, you can't hardly get people to serve at all. But when you do get them to serve, they'll quit serving when things don't go their way. It didn't go his way, but he kept serving. And then somebody else, the king, had a dream. I'm trying to get you to see what favor does for you. And once Joseph interpreted that dream, Pharaoh said, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? That's favor. Favor causes you to function in a divine spirit. Come on. Is there anybody like this in all the world? That's what God was causing to happen. Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You will be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage, and only in the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh took off his signet ring, gave him authority, took off his signet ring from his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in garments of fine linen, changed his garment, and called everyone to bow their knee to him. Though I am Pharaoh, yet without permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt without your permission. Favor coming from an identity of a son. Went to prison, ran it. He just happened to fall in a pit. He just happened to get bought by the right person. He just happened to get promoted to run the jail. No. Favor ain't fair. Favor makes no sense. Favor is the grace of God. It's Him doing it simply because He wants to. Can you see it? How He was promoted wherever He went. Now watch this. I'm going to close with this. I'm trying to get you to see that you have to have the identity of a son to walk in favor. I'm convinced that poverty is directly associated with rebellion. Did you hear me? I don't care if it's you, don't care if it's me. Probably still some in there. I hear you, Lord. Wherever you got a poverty problem, you got a sonship problem. Hello. Now let's look at this. So I'm trying to get you to see that favor comes from sonship. Let's look at the prodigal son. Luke 15:11. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. Now understand, here's the first thing I want you to see. Here's where sonship comes in. What he was really saying is, I know all I need to know. I can sing better than you can sing. I can preach better than you can preach. I know how to run a church better than you do. And you ain't ever run one. No, this son got too big for his britches. This son thought he knew things that he didn't know. He didn't understand sonship. So he came and said, Daddy, give me my stuff. I can handle it. He thought he was somewhere he wasn't. Why do we need a father in our life to tell us that we ain't all that in a bag of chips? You're not where you think you are. You don't know as much as you think you know. And what this son was doing, he wasn't committed and submitted to sonship. He wasn't a true son. He was in the house, but he wasn't a son. So he thought he knew more, so he decided to go out and plant a church on his own. And not many days later, the young son gathered everything together and went on a journey. Woo, boy, I've been on a journey, into a distant country called Charlotte, North Carolina. And there he squandered his estate. Didn't have one when I left, but any I had did get squandered. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. You can look like you have favor for a while, but it will not last without sonship and right relationship to authority. You can go out and plant a church. I've seen it all kinds of times. Because you're the new thing on the block. And you got a Facebook account. And you do false advertising. You find the one time that the Holy Ghost moved in your service and you get all kinds of likes and shares. And the next thing you know, all kinds of people coming to your church. And it ain't going to last. Because you can appear to be successful for a season of time when you've not been a son. And so the prodigal son went out and said, I know what I'm doing. Give him my stuff. I know what I'm doing. Didn't stay committed to sonship. You cannot get a blessing that lasts without being a son or daughter. Whew. About to feel Jesus. So he said, I know what I'm doing, but guess what happened? It didn't last. And look, he goes from being on top of the world. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And no one was giving in anything to him. He couldn't even get the pigs' food. I'm trying to get you to see, without sonship, you can look like you're on top of the world, but it's going to come crashing down. Because you moved before you were supposed to move. Fathers know when it's time for sons and daughters to move into ministry. And if you move out before that, this is where you end up. You can look successful for a season. Now, here he comes to his senses. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father. I will get up and go to my father. I will get up and go to my father. I will get up and go to my father. Because now I'm coming to the revelation that I need a father's blessing, and that my identity must become a son before I can truly walk and manage favor. See, he knew everything when he left, but now he's willing to go back and be a son. No. He's willing to go back and be a servant. He don't even want sonship no more. Oh, I'll prophesy to you right now. There are people in this room that you've blown it, and you've blown it so big, and all you can ever hope to be is a servant, and you don't understand that the Lord's not finished with you, and He still called you to be a son. I don't care which denomination wrote you off. I don't care how many times you backslid. I don't care how many issues you had. He's not written you off. He was going back with a mentality of being a servant, but God never, his father never changed his mind about him being a son. Yeah. Real fathers, they'll let you go. They'll also love you when you come back. I hear that saying, John Polis, and we just draw a bigger circle. Just draw the circle bigger and you'll still be in it somewhere. See, that's a father's heart. How many of the father's men? Now, here's what I want you to see. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him. You want to know who you want to figure out who your spiritual father is? Who have you ran off from and they're still standing there when you get back? That's the heart of a father. That's where favor comes from. Are you hearing me? So, while he was a long way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. Now, here's what I want you to see. These things out of this portion. You can look like you have favor for a while, but it will not last without sonship and right relationship to authority. There is a place of favor. favor flows from being in the right place. In order for the Son to get real favor, He had to return to the place of the Father. Did you hear me? He had to be in the Father's house to get the Father's blessing. He couldn't get the Father's blessing somewhere else. He had to get back in the house. He had to get back to being a son. Because it's the only place blessing comes and favor comes. He had to be in the Father's house to get the Father's blessing. So we got all kinds of people that fit that. And let me close with this. Luke 15. Now his older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry. Welcome to the church. How dare they let him sing? How dare they let him preach? He became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you, For so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a commandment of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours, but we had to celebrate and rejoice, for your brother, which was dead, has begun to live." Do you understand then that it's possible to be in a house and still not receive favor because you don't realize you're a son? He was jealous about something. He could have killed a calf and had a party the whole time, but he didn't know it because his identity was not in sonship. He did not see how the father saw him. It took this for the father to say, "Boy, you could have been doing it all along. You've been living beneath your privileges. You've been living like a beggar and you, instead of a son." He didn't have an identity of sonship. You better hear that one. I'm going to close right there. He was sitting in a house of favor and did not access favor because he didn't understand he was a son. He didn't know that daddy's heart took pleasure in him. He didn't know that at any time he could walk up and say, "I want to kill me a calf tonight. I want some fried chicken legs tonight. I want some white cake and white icing tonight." He was in the house but was not a son. Oh, I feel so good. So you don't get favor until you become a son or daughter. Don't come to a church every week, pay your tithes, and still not be a son or daughter because you think you know everything. You won't get the blessing, and you won't see the favor until you become a son and daughter of the house. Hello? Favor comes from sonship. Father, we bless you and we honor you. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us and drawn us into favor. We thank you, Lord, that your loving kindness is better than life. We thank you that you take pleasure in us. You delight in showing us mercy. You delight in causing us to prosper. You give blessing to your sons and daughters. You said it, Lord. If we come and ask you for a fish, will you give us a stone? No, Lord, you love us. You delight in us. You delight in showing us goodness and kindness and mercy. Come on, I just feel like I'm going to give you a second. I feel like some people need to really, I feel like the Lord is working on your mind. And I think you need to really ask God to forgive you for not seeing Him as a loving Father. I believe if you'll repent right now, some of you, for not recognizing how He takes pleasure in you, that it'll cause something to begin to break in your life. Lord, we thank you that you want to bless us, that you want to favor us. And Lord, I ask that the revelation would come to every person in this room, that when they wake up tomorrow and when they go to bed tonight, that you begin to break that beggar's mindset, and that you begin to cause them to see that they are the king's son and the king's daughter, and everything that they need, you have already paid for. We honor you and we bless you, and we recognize that you are a good, good daddy, and you delight in blessing us. Father, we just repent for any place in our life that we've seen you as anything other than loving and caring toward us. Change our hearts and our minds that we would focus on how much you love us. May we get out, Lord, of a striving mentality and walk in our identity as sons and daughters. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, in advance for testimonies coming out of this room, for signs, wonders, miracles, provisions. We thank you for it, Lord. In Christ's name. Amen. You can be dismissed. Such a heavy thing in here. I can